Okay, so the holidays are over, and it's now what we're being told is the me season, where you are thinking about what you want for yourself and maybe using some of those gift cards and cash that grandma gave you and that kind of thing. I know that if I gifted myself something right now, it would be like a Baboon go bag. I would take it with me to Star Wars Celebration in Chicago, maybe even be able to take it with us if we ever get a chance to go to Galaxy's Edge and wait in that long line. See, Baboon. Actually makes really technical duffel bags for all of your life's adventures. They're bags that are using waterproof materials, they're tear-proof, and they last forever. And every bag comes with free shipping and a lifetime guarantee. So these go bags, they're designed for you to have something ready to go and just take a weekend trip or get on that airplane and go check out that next Comic-Con or whatever. They come in two small sizes or two sizes, a small size for putting on the overhead compartment, and then a large one that you can check in. Both sizes can be stuffed in a trunk. They can be carried on your back or dragged wherever your adventures take you, and they never break, periods. So, see why Fast Company is actually calling it the best travel gear of 2018, from business travel to desert adventures. We're excited that Baboon is a sponsor of Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast. We want you to visit Baboon to themoon.com and enter code MESEASON, and you can receive 10% off your purchase. That's Baboon to themoon.com, code MESEASON, Baboon to themoon.com, code MESEASON.
This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadrons Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast, and Retro Inc. Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world. Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 56 of Tatooine Sons. It's a jam-packed show as we lose our minds, just a little bit, over the mid-season trailer for Star Wars Resistance. We will also answer the question of the month from the Commonwealth Podcast Network, and of course, we'll throw out some hot takes and break down our latest poll results. We are the Resistance now, and we're taking back the Colossus. It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do. Oh, do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I am joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
A chute to Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you probably missed out on the amazing mid-season trailer for Star Wars Resistance.
I think I peed a little.
Just a little.
That's what I said right afterwards, but anyway.
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures, so on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
Guys, Star Wars Resistance is finally back. I'm pretty pumped about this. What do you guys think?
Yeah, me too. Like, I was right before lunch, and I was scrolling through my YouTube feed, and I'm like, new trailer, this was uploaded like 15 minutes ago, and I watched it, and I'm like, Dad, I sent it to you immediately. I'm like, it's going to get good.
It was chilling. In fact, we just watched it again right before starting this recording on our big 60-inch flat screen TV. And when, well, anyway, we'll talk about it all in a minute. BB Nate, what did you think, when you first saw the trailer though? On a scale of 1 to 10, what were you, 10 being hyped?
I don't know. I was kind of not shell-shocked, but just was wondering, how did it go from the first half of season of Resistance to this? It was, very chill and laid back in the first thing, and then you see this trailer, and it's, hitting you. So I don't know where they're going to go through it, but, an 8 or 9 probably.
It was pretty good. Yeah. And there's a lot of people that were hating on Star Wars Resistance during the first half of the season that are suddenly becoming, really interested in this show. Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Sammy, you start a new job tomorrow night, but it's an old job. So tell our listeners what's going on.
Yeah, so when we were in California, I worked at a Chick-fil-A down there, and we moved, so I had to stop working there. So I asked the owner operator to put in a good word with the owner operator down here. And long story short, I'm working at this brand new Chick-fil-A in Colorado Springs, and it's state of the art, the flagship.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A. I've never seen a Chick-fil-A with all the bells and whistles and everything that this one has.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm a little nervous to start.
It's really cool for me too, because the owner operator of this Chick-fil-A that you're working for now was the owner operator of the Chick-fil-A that gave me my very first job when I was 17 years old. And he remembered me. So, obviously it's pretty cool, for all of us to do that together. So, Nathan, are you going to go for Chick-fil-A when you get your first job? You think?
Most likely.
Yeah. I think you're a shoe-in, man. It's a legacy now. It's a family thing. So, we call it Jesus food here, but anyway, so that's pretty cool. Hey guys, I've got an announcement for you guys that you don't know about.
Oh.
And so I don't have a drum roll sound effect, but
you're just drumming the mic with that.
It might
not be good audio quality there.
We cleared 200 subscribers on YouTube today.
Really?
Yeah, we're at 201. So it was pretty cool. We're pumped. Last week we launched the very first episode. Actually, by the time you listen to this, it would have been 2 weeks ago. We've launched our very first episode of Star Wars Rebels Revisited. And now we've had two episodes air on YouTube. Of course, it's also a podcast. So if you're listening to our podcast, you subscribe on whatever service that you subscribe to podcasts on, you're getting that in the feed as well. And we hope you're enjoying it. But I'm excited about what's happening with our YouTube channel. It seems like we're getting some good traction there. I love doing that show. The first four episodes, we shot all of those episodes together. We had mic issues and we had echo issues and stuff. No big deal though. We're going to get those things fixed as we move into the second, section that we record for February. But people are loving the show. I'm loving the insights. I spent some time watching both episodes again, just to get a feel for what you guys are saying. And guys, you're pretty smart Star Wars kids. Whoa. So.
Yeah, I know. Thank you.
Great kid. Don't get cocky.
Okay.
I was doing that just so you could
just you set me up. So yeah, we're pretty excited about that.
Hoping you do that.
And Patreon's going great. We love that. We thank you guys so much for everything that you're doing on Patreon. We're still running that $200 mark. We need to get some more Patreon supporters. So if you would, if you've got any inkling at all, or any prompting at all about thinking about being a Patreon supporter, all we ask you to do is go to patreon.com/TatooineSons and watch our welcome video. If it doesn't resonate with you, if it's not something that's exciting to you, what we're trying to do with our podcast and our YouTube stuff and everything else, then we're cool. We love the fact that you're listeners and everything else, but we know that there are people out there that want to help us take this thing to the next level. And we really do want to see us get to that next goal, which is that $250 level. So enough about Patreon. I just wanted to make sure that we shared that. We did get a review though today.
Hey.
Actually, today's when we're recording this, it's Thursday night. So that was a couple of days ago, but I liked this review. Are you guys ready for the review?
I'm ready.
Sure. Positivity and Fun, 5 stars from Dwarfbeard.
That's an amazing name.
Every time I hear that, I read Dwarfbeard, I think of a certain character from a TV series that we used to watch. Any idea who I could be thinking about? BB Nate?
Morgan from Chuck?
Morgan from Chuck.
Why Morgan? Because
he's short and he had a beard. And so I just
Gimli from Lord of the Rings.
I know. I mean, that's probably what it's about. But I always think of Morgan from Chuck. But anyway, thank you so much, Dwarf Beard, for your amazing review. Should I read it?
Sure. Probably.
Why not? Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's try this. Tatooine Sons podcast is a wonderfully positive podcast done by an endearing and adorable family. Aww.
Stop it.
Yeah. Dad shares his love of Star Wars with his sons and the audience. Great conversations on rumors, hopes, and reviews of Star Wars content. The podcast is the highlight of my week. Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very, very much. That's pretty awesome. So if you, it's a high aspiration to think that we would be the highlight of anyone's week.
Yeah.
But if you like our podcast and you enjoy listening to it, we would love for you to check out, you know, go to iTunes, and drop us, a rating and review, 5 stars and a review. It helps others. It really does. You guys, I know that every podcast that you listen to tells you this, but you need to know, as someone who's like starting to really get geeked out and nerded out as far as like podcasting and how to get listeners and all that kind of stuff, I promise you there's really nothing more important to helping other people find our podcast than you leaving a rating and review. So if you can go to iTunes and do that, it would be a great thing.
Mind tricks don't work on me. Only money.
Yeah, no, we can't pay for reviews. iTunes wouldn't like it. And so I'm sorry we can't do
that. Pretty sure that's like frowned upon. I'm not sure. Is it illegal? No, it's not illegal.
I don't know if it's illegal, but it's probably not a good idea. Yeah, like, no. Hey, I'll pay you a quarter for a review. Probably not.
Just a quarter, though? Yeah.
But, you know, it's almost as bad as going to Best Buy when you're buying phones and going to every iPhone and giving a rating on the iPhone.
And subscribing
to the podcast.
Yeah. And all the Google phones,
too. All the Google phones, too.
We totally didn't do that at all.
No, I don't think we did that.
Maybe we did that. But anyway,
we got to get our name out there somehow.
That's right. So, all right, let's talk about last week's podcast poll of the week.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it.
What?
All right, so our podcast poll of the week, that's right, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our podcast poll of the week for last week was based on sort of there was lots of different Star Wars stuff coming out, and we were talking about what we were looking forward to the most. So we asked you guys, what Star Wars are you most excited for in 2019? And you guys were pretty clear. I think we all knew what we thought the answer would be on that. What was your predictions, BB-8?
Well, I wanted Celebration.
Well, no, I know you wanted Celebration, but what was your prediction as far as the poll goes? What did you think the fans were going to listen to?
I think Episode 9 was going to be the biggest, because...
Yeah, I would have said Episode 9 and then probably Clone Wars underneath that.
Okay. Well, let's see what it had. We had, you know, a couple hundred votes. It was an easy poll. Lots of podcasts and different YouTube shows have asked this question recently, so people have not really engaged in the poll. But that's cool. We wanted to know what you guys thought. And boy, the Episode 9 ran away with it.
Just a little.
Yeah, 74% of you voted Episode 9. But that makes sense, because Star Wars is, first and foremost, it's a movie. And right. So it makes sense that most people would be really excited about Episode 9, especially with sort of The Last Jedi and how things ended. It's cool to see how now we potentially have the conclusion of the story as we go forward with that. Next in that was The Clone Wars. I think that's what you suggested was second, Sam. That was what you thought. At 14%. And then we had 10% say The Mandalorian. And then a couple of you guys, I think, you know, 4 of you, it looks like, 5 maybe, voted Star Wars Celebration. If I voted in the poll, I voted Star Wars Celebration. So maybe I'm one of those votes on there. But that's what we ended up, all 3 of us, saying was our most exciting thing. Because we've been to Celebration and we get to go again and we're excited about it. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. Any surprises at all on the vote?
Not really, no.
Yeah, I mean, I would have thought I mean, obviously I knew that episode 9 was going to be high, but I didn't realize it was going to be that high. And I was expecting Celebration to be a little higher than just 2%, but...
Well, if you think about the fact that there are literally millions of Star Wars fans and only maybe, I don't know, it's like 100,000, 150,000 actually get to go to Celebration, you would say that that number would be, would generally be lower with it. So, but we're excited about that. All right, let's hear what you guys had to share on the poll with replies. Who's going first? Samuel or BB Nate, you're going to go first.
So we have William, and his Twitter handle is at WJWagner77.
Wonder if that has anything to do with 1977, the greatest year in movie history.
Maybe.
Nah. Anyway,
it could be.
Or maybe the year he was born. I don't know.
It could be that, too. So.
And anyway, his reply was short and simple, and it was Episode 9, Clone Wars, and Mandalorian.
Yeah, so he ranked it, and he followed the suit of what everybody else said. So.
Which isn't surprising.
No, that's it. That's good.
And then DVC Duo at DVC Duo.
It's always so much nicer. I mean, I love all of your Twitter handles and stuff like that. And some of you get really cute with it. And I think Pablo Hidalgo, like, he changes his name. You know, you can't change his Twitter handle. It's Pablo Hidalgo. But his name, he changes it like every other day, I think. And that's fun. But it's always really easy on us when your Twitter name and your Twitter handle are the same. So thank you, DVC Duo.
And he said, can't wait to see what direction and everything goes after The Last Jedi. Really excited to see how they use the previously unused footage of Princess Leia and how they pay homage to Carrie Fisher and the character as a whole.
Yeah, I'm excited about that too. I mean, we've talked about that on this episode, on this show. Did you read the article or see anything on Facebook? Because, again, you guys are only on Facebook because it's probably the most controlled platform, which is scary in some ways. But did you guys see the article about how they're talking about Han Solo maybe back?
No, I don't think so.
No, like what, in a flashback scene?
Well, they don't know. There's something that happened. I don't know. It was a leak of some sort from somebody that got like crew shirts and stuff. And we're going to talk about more of that.
Oh,
kind of
I heard about it.
Well, not that, but there was like some kind of a leak that suggested that Han Solo was in it, that they've got footage for it. And what I'm here, you know, talking about, we've been asking about this on Twitter. But what a lot of people are concluding is that there's like scenes that were shot with Leia and Han from The Force Awakens that they're having to use in this, but I don't know how they're going to pull that off. And maybe it is a flashback. I don't know.
Or they just, yeah, no, I don't know.
You can't take, you can't have a Force Ghost Han.
Right. And you, yeah, that's weird.
What would you do if Force Ghost Han was in BB-8?
Oh, I wouldn't be like annoyed. I would just watch the movie. It's a movie. Yeah.
I think it'd be kind of funny because it'd be like,
that's not how the Force works. Right. Wait, hold on.
And
that's not how the Force works.
Right. If he like showed up and bothered Ben and was saying that to him all the time, like being like the overbearing parental figure, but like as a Force ghost.
That would be, I think it'd be like ironic though that he said, you know, that's all just like
a bunch of mumbo jumbo,
yeah. And then he's a Force ghost, but they're not going there for, that would not be a good idea.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, I do too. Okay. And then the last one was from Steven N. Santa, which again, thank you very much, Steven. His Twitter handle is at Steven N. Santa, S-A-N-N-A. And he replied saying, I have a theory I've been nursing along for a little while now, and I need to see the Siege of Mandalore to see if it gives me any clues to substantiate my theory. So hashtag the Clone Wars is what I'm most excited to see right now, but want it all regardless. And that was a very healthy approach towards it. But yeah, we are pumped about the Clone Wars. You guys think it's going to show up on Disney Plus like right away? Is that what you guys, like in September or the fall, whenever they launch Disney Plus?
Oh, probably.
You think it's going to be like right from the beginning?
Most likely, yes.
What about, I think that's where they're going to release it.
Well, they are releasing it on Disney.
No, but like only.
No, I'm almost certain that that's the only place it gets released.
Oh.
What I'm saying is, do you think it will be on Disney Plus from the moment that this streaming service opens up?
When is the streaming service
sometime in the fall? They're talking September.
Yeah.
You know, they've announced, like, Bob Iger, the president of Disney, he mentioned that the Mandalorian is going to be coming out from the moment that they start the streaming service in the fall. So it's ready to go. So we're excited about that.
I just hope they don't, like, charge an arm and a leg for the streaming service.
They said it's going to be cheaper than Netflix.
What's Netflix at?
About $10.
$11.99, $10, something like that.
Oh, jeez. Why would we even,
I think they're going to have tiers. What I'm hearing from a lot of people from the industry, because I listen to a lot of these podcasts, and you guys are all great. but like people that are like in LA, in Hollywood, that are involved in the production of stuff like this, they think that it's going to be like a $4.99 tier with some very basic stuff, and then like a $10 tier, and then even like a $15 or $20 tier that like gives you access. I'm hearing like gives you access to all of Disney's back catalog of animated movies that they only release like every 7 years on Blu-ray and stuff. And so they'll release, that's like going to have it all on there, which if that's the case, everybody is going to be signing up for the $15, and that's what they would be going for.
We just need whatever tier gets us Star Wars.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about that. Okay, all right, let's move on.
Grounded Racers, A System Without a Star, and General Hux's seething speech promise an end to the Republic as we know it. The threat of the First Order has been growing, and with Star Wars Resistance returning Sunday, the series promises a climactic finish for the first season. We'll break it all down next on Resistance Recap.
That is the fourth TIE fighter to arrive here this week. You have such a tremendous interest in the First Order. Now that they are increasing their security presence on the Colossus, you must be thrilled.
These guys aren't security. They're stormtroopers, and stormtroopers are only for one thing.
Looks like there was a system here, but there's
no star.
Those planetoids. What could have done that?
Pirates, scramble the aces!
Troops to protect your station, not racers.
First Order will provide all aerial security.
All racers are officially grounded.
Are you serious?
We need a plan.
They could be preparing for war. That's why they want this station.
All remaining systems will bow to the First Order and will remember this as the last day of the Republic.
Let's blast some bucketheads!
Kazuda, if you can leave Castellan, join us.
Keep your head down until things cool off.
Tim!
The First Order has a way of making people disappear.
We are the Resistance now. And we're taking back the Colossus.
Hit it, Cal!
Hey, frowny faces!
After her!
Kaz, I'd fight alongside you any day.
That is a truly amazing plan!
Well,
wow.
That's it? Just wow?
I'm obviously joking when I, in the opening of the show, when I said I peed a little, but guys, okay. So you were talking about you were like working on your schoolwork when you got a notification on your phone?
No. It was right before lunch and I was just scrolling through my YouTube subscription feed and it popped up like, and it said it was uploaded like 15 minutes ago. And then I'm like, Nate, let's go watch this.
So I'm sitting there, I'm making phone calls, at, you know, sales calls at my work, and this thing pops up on my phone that the mid-season trailer's out. And so, you know, I mean, it's, I'm pretty much a self-guided kind of guy. I don't have to, nobody has to babysit me. I do my work and my boss lets me do whatever I want to do. And so I stopped what I was doing after that call and I opened up my phone and I had my headphones on and I watched it. And for me, the highlight of the entire thing was when all of a sudden you hear Hux's speech from Starkiller Base. So, it was pretty awesome. So,
yeah. There's so much in this. Like, it seems like Kaz is actually like, he's becoming a spy now. Like, he's not some bumbling idiot who, like, the Jar Jar Binks we were referring to him as. He seems to be, you know, growing up a little bit. What do you think about Kaz in this trailer, BB-8?
Well, He's gotten a little bit more. You can see he was a fighter pilot, and he's trained to be that. And like we were saying, he wasn't really trained to be a ground fighter. I feel like he gets thrown into the deep end in this part, and I feel like he just learns how to do it, like has to. And like, I think it's going to be an intense half season of Resistance. I think maybe the first three episodes are going to be kind of building it up, and it's going to start going downhill from there. And so I don't know what to expect, but I think it's going to be a good rest of the season.
Yeah, I am. You know, I was the one that was pretty critical of and if Christopher Sean, if you happen to listen to our podcast, because he's following us on Twitter, he's following us on Instagram, we're interacting with him on that. I doubt he listens to our podcast, honestly, if we're being, you know, completely transparent here. But if he is, or anybody that's associated with Star Wars Resistance, I love the show. And I think Kaz is a really cool character. What I didn't like about Kaz was that they sort of, they made him feel, I just felt like he was out of his element, on the Colossus. And so what I was wanting to see was him be this Resistance hero. And the trailer has him as a Resistance hero. It's intense, with it. So I'm really excited about that. He's becoming the spy that I think we all thought he would be. And here's, you know, I was thinking about this as I was watching the trailer earlier before we started the show. I was thinking about the fact that, you know, if we put ourselves in the story like Kaz is, the Resistance knows about the First Order, obviously, but they don't have this, like, they don't seem to have this, like, overwhelming dread and horror about who the First Order is. But when we see the Force Awakens, they do.
Right.
So something's happening from the beginning of season one, episode one of the Resistance, of Star Wars Resistance and Force Awakens. And I think that we kind of get to take this journey with Kaz. Kaz is sort of this, he's just a Republic pilot. He gets recruited by the Resistance. He's just trying to feel himself out. And suddenly he's on his own hero's journey. In a lot of ways, where he's like, now I've got to step it up because this is a big deal, and the First Order is like using the Colossus base. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah. What do you think about all the racers being grounded? I always get tickled when I hear that because I think of like being actually grounded. You know,
like a parent grounded you from
your, so. Yeah. But I mean, that's pretty intense. I mean, we haven't seen them fly much anyway, so it doesn't make that. I'm just kidding. What do you think, Nate?
No. Well, it's going to start making things a little bit better. We did see in part of the, in a few clips that they released, that there's going to be a rematch with Tora and Kaz, and we saw the rematch. I'm wondering if those clips is like what's happening between the last episode we see of Resistance and then now. I'm wondering
Between the Station Theta Black or whatever, and then this new episode that's coming up Sunday night, which by the time most of you hear this podcast, it will have already aired. But that's cool too, because then it kind of allows us, the way that we're doing the recording now, I always felt like we were talking about the episode too soon. I don't know. We're not talking about it for another week, so I think that's good. But yeah, I'm totally on board with you. I think that this is also with the Aces being grounded. I think that that's what's going to cause Kaz and Team Fireball, with Yeager. What about that clip where Yeager's like, I'd fight with you any day.
Yeah. And he said at the beginning of the series that he's not going to be in fighting or doing anything with the Resistance anymore. And now he's all into it. So that's going to be a little bit interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny because, you know, we've been talking a lot about the mythology and archetypes. You've got these archetypes. You've got...
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you've got Nico as the jester. You've got Kaz as the hero. You've got Yeager as the mentor. And well, Poe as a mentor, too.
Kaz, in the first half, is more like the child, sort of. And now, in this next season, he's clearly going to fill in to the hero role
that we were absolutely talking about. But I'm excited to see Yeager step in because I've made it very abundantly clear that Yeager's my favorite character in this. I'm more excited to see about his story than anything else. But I think that this is what's going to bring the Aces into Kaz's plan. And I think Kaz is going to, at some point in this, he's revealing himself to Tora, because when we see the Hux scene, which we haven't really talked about much, and we have mentioned it, but when we get to the Hux stuff, they're watching that clip or that like HoloNet
Either broadcast. It's live or it's already happened, which has serious ramifications.
Yeah, talk about that. What are some of those ramifications that you think of, Sam?
Obviously, that means that this next half of the season is taking place during The Force Awakens, which is crazy. And that means that the Republic is going to be, was it Hosnian Prime on all those? Planets are going to be destroyed. And Nathan brought this up, and it was a good point, that Kaz's dad is a senator, and he's probably on one of those planets.
Yeah, he's on Hosnian Prime, most likely, because that's where the Republic Senate is.
So, yeah.
Do we find out, BB Nate, do you think we find out more about his father and who he is and sort of his background?
I don't know. Either, I feel like either they do kill him off and they figure out and give a little bit more for Kaz to be having a more tragic backstory to go with it, or he went off the planet and we get to see his dad help Kaz with everything. Because we knew that Kaz's dad didn't really like the Resistance.
Yeah, they're not on the same page. Kaz's dad is not a part of the Resistance, so much so that in the Station Theta Black, the last episode we saw, you know, he was thinking about going and telling his dad about what he discovered about the First Order, and Leia's like, you know, there's no point in it. They don't care. You know, so she doesn't have a good impression of his dad. So it's a really interesting scene.
Yeah. And another thing I want to bring up, sort of going back to, you know, you're talking about Yinger and all that. What about that map?
Yeah. I mean, it looked kind of like the map from The Force Awakens.
Yeah, but it couldn't be the same app.
I can't imagine. BB Nate, you're the one that originally brought that up. You don't think it's the same map, do you?
No, I don't. Okay. I thought it was totally different map. I feel like it's just like what maps look like.
Like Google Maps?
Yeah, kind of. It's the map system.
It's Google Maps in space.
Right.
So they've got little satellites flying around taking pictures of people's homes.
Right.
So, anyway.
Yeah, and what about Leia and her message to Kaz to join the Resistance?
Yeah, I'm going to come back. You come back to me on that one. BB Nate, you go first, because I don't want to like spoil what I'm getting ready to suggest.
Wow, sorry, that was a yawn.
Okay, no worries. Yeah, we're good.
I don't know what to really think of that since we haven't gotten the full message, but I feel like that's going to be a main part of Kaz's turn to the Resistance. I feel like he's going to go all out then. He, like, looks up to Leia, as you can see. So I feel like if with this he's going to really try to honor Leia as much as he can. So I don't know. I don't know what to think of it. We'll see during the show, of course.
What do you think, Sam?
I mean, I think it's interesting, although I thought he was already part of the Resistance.
Yeah. Okay. So that's where I've only watched it twice. I watched it at work yesterday and I watched it just now. And when we were watching it just now, I freaked out at the Leia stuff.
Okay.
Because, you know, we know that the Force Awakens, that they have made it clear. They have told us. We see Starkiller Base. We see events from Force Awakens in this mid-season trailer. We know that these events overlap with the Force Awakens. There's no doubt. Am I right?
Right, right.
Yes.
Okay. So, but we also know that The Last Jedi picks up immediately at the end of The Force Awakens. Right?
Okay, I think I know where you're going with this.
So if that's the case, then are these events overlapping with The Last Jedi? What do you think about that? Hello?
I gotta process that for...
Okay. Well, I think since The Force Awakens did end very quickly after Hux's speech, which we do see, it started to pick up.
Yeah, well, that's like right before the big battle of Starkiller Base and blow it up.
So we figure out that that's soon. So I would say it's at least 4 hours until the end of Force Awakens from the time being of Hux's speech.
Okay, so yeah, so it happens pretty quickly. Maybe. I think that's we know that, but here's what I'm coming at: the line. Okay, so we have a message from Leia. BB Nate?
No, I just got something else that you probably...
Okay, we'll come back to you then. So it's not related to this part of the topic?
Not really, but it's just for Resistance. But
okay. Right, no, I understand. So, okay, so here's what I'm thinking, all right? Leia's sending out messages to gather Resistance fighters, to gather the other people, right? And no one responds in The Last Jedi. But what if the message, like, there's this battle going on in the Colossus, and Kaz and the Aces and Yeager and Captain Doza and this group, they get these messages from Leia. And then what is that line? You opened the show with it, BB Nate, the quote for the day. It was, "We are the resistance now." Hello.
They're the only resistance left since.
I wonder if they're going like down this path where could this be tying into, like, I don't think it's going to tie into episode 9, because we know episode 9 is going to be sometime after The Last Jedi. We pretty much can assume that. Even if John Boyega doesn't remember saying it's a year later, it's probably a year or more later. Okay. So we've got this, there's things that are happening, but what if, like, the resistance show in season 2, which they announced.
Right, it's going to happen.
Yeah, they announced at the same time that on StarWars.com that season 2 is coming. You know, if let's say they get all the way through The Last Jedi events, we are the resistance now, and that type of stuff. And the rest of the show is about this period of time between The Last Jedi and Episode 9 for several seasons, right? It could last for 4 or 5 seasons that way. And then we know what happens in Episode 9 after Christmas next year, but this gap between is the backstory that we get filled in through the Resistance show. What do you think about that?
I think that's a great idea. I think that they could go with that, and I feel like it would get to be much a very interesting show with what they could do with that. Also, another thing that I've been thinking about, we know that the campaign for Battlefront 2 is canon, right?
Yeah. The campaign is with Iden Versio and her daughter.
That gets sent in the beginning of Last Jedi, as we figure it out.
Yeah, where did she get sent? Do we remember?
We never got told where she got sent.
Yeah, I think it was left open.
Maybe they bring her into this season too.
And they easily could. She's an animated character.
Yeah, absolutely. So it would be a really interesting crossover.
Do we see the first trailer at Celebration for season 2?
Oh, no. Here's my prediction. Okay, prediction's sure to go wrong. I think we get the first episode of season 2.
I agree.
And trailer, I think. Because that's
They always do the trailer, and then they show the episode.
Right.
With it. And that's going to be awesome. So, and this is one of the reasons we're looking forward to Star Wars Celebration so much. That's our favorite thing for this year. So
we won't be able to talk about that, though, on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, no, everybody talks about it, but we'll...
The episode?
We'll do... Oh, yeah. We'll do those all over the place and make sure you guys know. Oh, yeah. We don't sign any, like, document unless they, like, make us, but they haven't in the past. They didn't. It's the Star Wars Rebels. So, in fact, people leaked... I think videotaped it and leaked it online.
Oh.
Yeah, so, anyway.
Yeah, and what about Tam? She got, like, captured.
Oh, yeah, that's weird, yeah.
I think that's another one of those catalysts for Kaz to really start thinking about what he's doing. I think it's going to be possibly something with his dad. I don't know if they're going to do that exactly, but possibly something with his dad, the message from Leia, and obviously Tam being captured. What do you think about that, Dad?
Yeah, no, I think that Tam's capture is not going to be the catalyst for Kaz. I think that what happens on Hosnian Prime and the messages from, like, what Poe and him see in the trailer, you see this, where they fly and they actually, I think they even see Starkiller Base in that clip, if you look at it. It's like it's there. They think it's a planetoid, but I think that's Starkiller Base.
No, they're talking about what happened to these planets.
Okay, so anyway, we see that. I think that and Hosnian Prime and then the message from Leia are the big catalysts for Kaz in this. I think that Tam's capture by the First Order is the catalyst for Yeager. I think he's got a strong relationship with her, and he's going to say, enough's enough. I can't sit back and let other people be involved in this. Somebody I care about so much has been captured by this evil First Order. It's time for me to step it up.
And I think that since we know what happens to Yeager's family, his brother accidentally killed them, I feel like he looks at Tam as his kind of daughter.
Because
he treats her like it as well. And so I feel like if she gets captured, he's going to go full tilt and, like, going to start, like, rampaging and, like, going full resistance as he was with the Rebellion.
Bad feeling about
I mean, if you're the First Order, you better. So, yeah, that's cool. So
I'm looking forward to Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday yeah. night. So by the next time we record a podcast.
Or Sunday morning.
Yeah, well, we got church Sunday morning. We got to be there at 8. I don't know if anybody told you that, guys.
We're going to Sunday school. That's it.
Well, no. They're going to 3 services this week, and we're in the choir for the 8 o'clock service now, 8:15 service. So anyway, yeah, we'll be looking forward to it. We'll talk about it next week. There are new details about Galaxy's Edge. JJ, Mr. Abrams, is giving out weird gifts to the Episode 9 crew. And carbon freezing goes mobile. It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right, so Disneyland's new Star Wars ride will record your performance and change your visit accordingly. Have you guys heard this yet?
Yeah, no. I mean, I had heard previously, though, that the park is going to be very interactive and, like, you can either, like, align towards the good guys and the bad guys, and that changes up everything. But I didn't hear about this specifically.
Yeah, so here's what it says. This is from, this is actually from Fox News. Interestingly.
Well,
Fox News.
Pretty reputable.
Yeah, FoxNews.com.
Not much with the government shutdown to talk about.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess we've got to talk about Star Wars. New details about the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, the banner attraction that will allow fans to pilot the fastest ship in the galaxy. Were also revealed. So this was part of the segment there. It says the ship will look and feel like the real deal, as like we saw on the New Year's
You'll
Day.
You'll be able to click every single button in there.
Yeah. It's been confirmed. And as anticipated, we'll seat 6 passengers for an intimate experience. Barron's also confirmed, this is I guess whoever's telling them this information, also confirmed rumors that how you fly the ship will affect your time spent in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And your reputation will precede you. Do a poor job or a phenomenal one piloting the Millennium Falcon, and the shopkeepers and citizens of Black Spire Outpost, the location of Star Wars Land, will know. That's right. For the very first time, your experience on an attraction can and will affect what happens while you wander around the Disney park.
Okay, so, like, if you do very well and get away from the Empire, are, like, stormtroopers going to arrest you and take you out of the land?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know if I would enjoy that or not.
No, like, they're not going to take you out of the land. They're not going to do that. But they're going to play into the storyline. Mm. What do you think about this idea, Samuel Hutt?
I love the idea. It's like a real-life video game in a way. I mean, I don't know. It's just the way I think about it. But I want to think how, like, logistically are they going to do this? Are they, like, because I know Disney World has those, like, wristbands or whatever. Yeah. Are they going to do something like that for Disneyland now? Because it's easy to implement that into Disney World, but Disneyland doesn't have anything like that yet.
Yeah, this is intense. I don't know how they're going to do it. It's like the, cosplay RPG type stuff.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's like Knights of the Old Republic or something.
Like, yeah, you're living the characters
because
out.
In that game, you could align towards the light side of the good side, and everyone will know about it and, like, will treat you accordingly.
So is this going to make you nervous to fly the Millennium Falcon whenever we get there and do this, Nathan?
Well, I don't think so. I think it'll be more like they said that this whole land will not matter for happily ever after. You're gonna, if you crash or get destroyed by the TIE fighters and the Millennium Falcon, it's over. You don't get a second chance. It's over. You're done. Like, so there's so many things that could go. I feel like it just gives you this more push. Like,
yeah,
you gotta do it. And I think it would just be so much fun. I'm pumped.
But yeah, I mean, it totally changes. Sorry.
They I don't know if you guys heard, but they raised their prices.
I heard that Disney raised their prices.
Because there's no surprise there.
But only
a lot is what they raised them. They're gonna, and I think that's intended in some ways to weed out some people that can't come.
Yeah.
You know, it's a supply and demand thing. The demands
are right. They don't want to be too over.
They can make more money off of it, and if you can afford to go, you will. So,
yeah.
You excited about it, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, it's like the other rides, like, for instance, Buzz Lightyear. If you don't do well in that game, it doesn't affect the rest
of your
trip.
Stay in Tomorrowland.
Right, yeah. That's going to be so much fun. I'm super excited for that.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, next one. Star Wars 9 crew gift hints at weird spoilers and possible locations. Samuel, or BB-8 looks like he's...
I know where this is going.
Yeah, it's weird, man. So this is from ScreenRant.com. It says, in a new post on the Star Wars Leaks Reddit page, user N00TN00T84, God, you gotta love Reddit, shared an image of a gift set that crew members working on Star Wars Episode 9 supposedly received from director J.J. Abrams. As seen in the screenshot on the website, the gift includes a Bad Robot jacket. That's his production company. As well as, are you ready for this, Sam? Because you know this, right, BB-8?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
As well as two bottles that are filled with some sort of sand and beans. The note attached to the gift and the sand bottle said, there's a note on each bottle. There's a bottle of sand and there's a bottle of beans. The note attached to the sand bottle says, from a long, long time ago, not so far away. Okay. And the note on the bean bottle said, swallows you up whole. Not sure. There is no telling what exactly these two bottles mean, but a Reddit user that seems to have inside knowledge commented, so for those asking about the bottles, the sand, and it is really fine sand, is from a sacred place on a familiar planet. The beans are something to do with a Jedi eater, whatever that means. And with that in mind, these comments should be taken with a grain of salt or sand, since they come from an unverified source. Samuel the Hutt, what do you think about this leak?
Now I feel like I've got like this puzzle to unravel now. Or maybe the jar of sand is that Anakin Skywalker is going to come back.
Anakin's going to come back.
No, I doubt that one. It's so confusing. Why did people have to make stuff so cryptic?
I guarantee you he made this cryptic on purpose. This is J.J. Abrams. Right.
I'm certain the sand is either Jakku or Tatooine, obviously. I'm hoping for Tatooine because that would be a great way to close out
the series. This is Tatooine's sons, anyway.
No, but I'm just talking to be like a cool way to close out the series.
Tatooine has been in the first two trilogies, the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy, so it would be fitting for it to at least appear once in the in the sequel trilogy. So,
Beans.
Black beans. They look like really, really dark black beans. And there's this, what's this Jedi eater thing, Sam?
I have no idea. That's probably something from Legends that we don't know about. Mm.
No, nobody's talked about that. I've been looking on Twitter.
Maybe Legends is Luke Skywalker.
Hold on. BB-8's having a revelation.
I am.
You may be breaking news here, Sam.
I'm remembering one of the stories, which was a great story. So you know the space worm.
The space worm, the slug?
Mm-hmm,
space slug. Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Luke Skywalker got trapped in one of the caves for it with another guy. And it was like a life or death situation. Like, even staying in the cave for that amount of time, if Han and Leia went out of the cave for a long, long period of time, they would have died by the conditions.
Okay, makes sense.
And so they are kept, and there's a bunch of Minox, and there's a ton of different creatures in there that will attack and eat people as well. The other guy with him, with Luke Skywalker, got severely injured, but they both made it through. I forget how they did, but they did.
So there was a potential for Luke to be eaten. So you're associating that with Jedi eater.
And if I'm remembering correctly, there was weird, like, there were other people who got trapped in it, and they like wrote stuff on the walls, and it seemed very Jedi-esque. Mm-hmm. But there was like a Jedi, like, statue or something.
There was like
really weird
Jedi writings and legends and type of stuff.
Also, so this slug, the
space slug.
What's it called again? Exogorth.
Yeah,
space slug. It could be the Jedi Eater, but it would have to do with beans.
I don't know what the beans have.
Well, it's dark in space. Black.
Maybe there's a Jack and the Beanstalk dream sequence in this or something.
Okay. I think you're reading into this just a little bit too much.
I'm just going
Maybe you just put the beans in there to throw us off.
Or maybe this is not even like a credible thing and they just...
No, it's pretty credible. I've seen the photo. I mean, I'm pretty confident.
The photo too.
Yeah, I think it's pretty real. We'll have to wait and see. So, all right, last part of the hot takes. Rumors about the Mando's ship in Star Wars Mandalorian.
Please, I mean Slave One.
We believe that this ship is called the Razor Crest.
Dang it.
This is actually from MakingStarWars.net, so our friends Jason and Amanda and the rest of the crew over there. However, there is always the off chance that this is the title of the ship design itself. We have that name confirmed with two sources, and one calls it a Razor Crest, and the other calls it the Razor Crest. So right now, it's hard to pin that down. The name is pretty awesome. That was edited. So I hope it's the name of the ship itself. An interesting rumor about the ship is that it apparently has the ability to carbon freeze.
Uh-oh.
I could be wrong, but I don't think he's freezing Jorgen fruitcakes for safe transport across the galaxy. Carbon freezing always makes me a bit queasy, as I like it to be special for Han Solo in The Empire Strikes Back, where they test it on Han so they can see if it will work on Luke. The Clone Wars had the Jedi use the process to sneak behind the enemy lines with the justification that said mission is how Anakin, Darth Vader, even came up with the plan. Well, in this era, Han Solo is a war hero and a legend, so I suppose word got around? Or did it always have the carbon freezing chamber? I don't know. Don't shoot the messenger. BB Nate, do you like the idea of this Razor Crest Mando ship potentially having the ability to carbon freeze people and transport them? What do you think about that?
I don't know. Maybe a better bounty. Maybe a better way to capture people.
Yeah, because, you know, it seems like in every one of these episodes where they had bounty hunters capturing somebody, that person ended up getting away at some point. So maybe carbon freezing is going to help with that. What do you think about this, Samuel?
Yeah, I'm excited. I like the idea. I mean, he's a bounty hunter. He's got to make a living somehow. And if that means carbon freezing people, why not? Why not have a mobile carbon freezing station?
Or maybe he's just carbon freezing his pet so he can live forever.
All right.
Alrighty then.
Okay, I think it's time for us to move on. It's question of the month time for the Commonwealth, and this one may be the most difficult one yet. This is from our buddy Jeffrey Fishbach. We'll come back to that in a minute. The galaxy, he wrote out like a story behind it. The galaxy is in peril. You have been ordered by the rebellion to evacuate to the deserted island asteroid Veriso in the Outer Rim. The one known life form is an Exogorth space slug. The only Star Wars-related media that you can pack for evacuation is limited. What are you taking with you?
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so our buddy Jeffrey Fishbach from the Canto cast, which, interestingly enough, we are going to, I guess by the time that you hear this podcast, we will have already been on an episode. We're going to be doing one with them on Saturday. They wanted to have us as guests, so we're really excited about that. But he's also, Jeff is one of the Knights of the Commonwealth. And so this is our special group of supporters that have shown themselves just like to go over the top when it comes to promoting the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network and all the shows on it. And Jeff, which is awesome because he's got his own podcast. It's not even part of the network, and yet he's out there like championing our podcast and other podcasts like it. So he sent in the question of the month. And so basically the idea is for the story is a setup for us to determine something from the original trilogy, prequel trilogy, and sequel and story era movies, what we would take with us if we could only take one thing. So the idea is from each, the original trilogy, prequel trilogy, and sequels and standalones, Rogue One, Solo, all that, you're allowed at one item as following: one Blu-ray from each era, one novel from each era, and one soundtrack from each era. So we'll leave out the rest of the stuff on here. It's kind of, we'll come back to that in a minute. The rest of it. Let's go with you. I'm going to start with you, BB Nate. Where do you want to start? You want to start with original prequel or sequels? You get to pick.
Just go original.
For original trilogy. If you could only take one movie from the original trilogy, which one would you take?
Six. Episode six.
Return of the Jedi. Yes. Why do you like... That's always been one of your favorites. Why do you like... Yeah, you can put that down. Why do you like Return of the Jedi so much?
Oh, the story and the resolve of the whole... What he thought was going to be the only movies, basically. It's just... It's a good movie. It has a well-balanced storyline, so that's just...
And the killer teddy bears aren't bad either.
The Ewoks, yeah. The bloodthirsty teddy bears.
If you play the, like, Ewok game mode on
Battlefront... I haven't done that yet, and I want to.
It's terrifying if you're a stormtrooper. I'm not even kidding. It's pretty freaky. I want a VR awesome. Version of it. Anyway.
That's cool. What about you, Samuel? From the original trilogy, which movie would you take?
I'm tied between 5 and 6. 6 because it's got, like, the resolve to the story. And 5 because it's episode 5, and it's amazing. I guess I would go with 5, though. Just because it's so good. And, you know, you can never bore of watching that movie, so...
Cool, yeah, I would definitely go 5. That's my world on that. All right, we'll go to the soundtracks next. I'm going to go back around. We'll start with you again, Samuel Lahut. We'll go back this way now. So if you could only have which one of those soundtracks. Now, you're big into these soundtracks, the musical scores. If you could only pick one of those musical scores, Sam, which one would you take?
5,
without a doubt?
No, that was what I first thought when I read this.
Really?
5, easy.
Why do you like that one more than, like, A New Hope?
It's just got... It's got all the good songs from A New Hope, and then some of the even more iconic songs for, like, certain scenes.
Like the Han Leia love theme and stuff like that.
All that stuff. It just seems more iconic to me than A New Hope or The Return of the Jedi.
Cool. What about you, BB Nate?
Well, I would say A New Hope, because it's the first movie, it's the first soundtrack that John Williams did for Star Wars, and it's just so iconic, and I just find it to be a good soundtrack in general. And when you... look up any Star Wars songs, like, let's say, Princess Leia theme, it brings you to the Episode 4 soundtrack. So
Force theme, Luke's theme. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah, I would probably go with A New Hope. It's funny, because I've got every soundtrack from Star Wars, all of the movies, including the stories, on a chronological from Episode 1 all the way through Episode 8, with all the stories inserted properly, on a playlist. On Apple Music that I just have playing in my ears all day long when I'm not listening to podcasts, when I'm at work, while I make phone calls and stuff like that. So
that sounds nice.
Yeah, it's actually kind of cool. It's, you know, it's good ambient music. It's better than some of the other music that's playing in the background in that place. I'll just be honest with you right there. All right. So now novels is going to be tough with this one.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have any. I don't know if I've read any canon novels from this era, because I haven't read some of the stuff that came out about, like, Leia and Luke and Han, the smuggler stuff and all that. I haven't read those. So have you guys read any books, any novel books from that era?
Is it like, are you talking about, like, in Star Wars or, like, 1977?
No, I'm talking about, like, in the canon.
Okay.
And I guess other people could go with Legends if they wanted to, if they read those. That's fine. But, you know, we're in the canon space. That's what we like. Have you read any novels that have been in that time period, the time period of the original trilogy?
Thrawn and all that doesn't count.
No, because Thrawn's more prequel trilogy.
Yeah. Legends of Luke Skywalker count?
Well, no, I guess Thrawn isn't. Thrawn is more, it's closer. It's
closer to Rebels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess you could go with a Thrawn. If you were going to pick one of those, Sam, which would you take? All right, you need to answer.
Alliance.
The last Thrawn novel that came out?
Yeah.
Would Guardians
that was closer to the original trilogy era.
Would Guardians of the Wills count?
Yeah, I would count that. I mean, that's a period leading right up into... Ahsoka was right after. Yeah, it's 3. More prequel. We'll come back to that one.
Legends of Luke Skywalker was during when kids were going to Canto Bight in last year.
Yeah, so that's sequel
trilogy. But the stories taking place in it were original trilogy.
Interesting. I would probably go with A New Dawn. I really liked that. The Rebels prequel novel that came out. Where you get the backstory of Hera and Kanan. I love that story. I thought it was a really well done book, so I would go with that. Okay, Sam, you get to pick next. Do you want sequel trilogy and stories, or do you want prequels?
Prequels.
Okay, so the prequel movie you would take with you is
Return of the Jedi, or not
Return of the Jedi. Okay, now we'll go back and edumacate him.
Revenge of the Sith.
Impressive.
Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Yeah. Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith.
That's your favorite of the three prequel movies? Mm-hmm. Okay. Any particular reason why?
I've always thought it was the best of the prequels. I just enjoy it more.
Cool. What about you?
Same here.
Yeah,
I like the Revenge of the Sith. Best.
I'm having a tough time talking.
Yeah, I'm not trying to pick something different. I thought that in some ways that the acting and the dialogue in Revenge of the Sith was, other than Ewan McGregor's performance, was some of the, and of course Ian McDermott as the Emperor, Chancellor Palpatine, was pretty bad in Revenge of the Sith.
It wasn't as bad as 2, though.
No, 2 was worse. The love stuff with Anakin and Padme wasn't great. But I think that we're going to find in the future that the Phantom Menace storyline is going to be more critical. And what happens with Qui-Gon, what happens with Shmi, and all that. So I'll go with Phantom Menace.
Speaking of Phantom Menace, it is a 20-year anniversary.
That's true, too.
For it, as well as Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah, pretty cool.
So I think we're going to get some news of something new for Phantom Menace, or at least around Phantom Menace is going to be there.
Yeah,
so
that'd be cool. Like a panel or something like that.
Probably.
Yeah, I hope so. Okay, we'll go back to you. Soundtrack from the prequel trilogy.
Probably episode 2.
Yeah? You like episode 2?
Yeah, okay. It's a all-around good soundtrack for everything. So
okay, cool. What about you, Sam?
See, I'm tied between 1 or 2 because 1 has Duel of the Fates.
I don't know the words.
What about 3 with Battle of the Heroes?
But I was gonna say 3 has Battle of Heroes and
which is basically like Duel of the Fates times 2.
Right, and then it's got the Jedi Temple March and Grievous's theme. Yeah, I'm gonna go 3.
3. You just like Revenge of the Sith from the prequel era.
From the prequels, it's my favorite. Yeah. Easy, yeah.
I'm probably gonna go with 3, with Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, I'd say from the prequel trilogy, it's got the most recognizable soundtrack.
Well, I don't know, Duel of the Fates is pretty intense.
That's true.
So, okay, and then I guess we'll go novel. Let's talk about any novel stuff from that era. We'll go with you, BB Nate. We'll start with you.
Ahsoka, as I was saying, because Ahsoka is one of my favorite Star Wars novels. It's a great one, and it keeps you glued. Basically, you can't stop, and I just found it to be a great, amazing book. And so,
yeah, Ahsoka's a great book. What about you, Sam? Have you read anything in that era?
I don't think I have. Well, the Darth Vader novel,
Dark Lord of the Sith,
Dark Lord of the Sith.
That is
Lords of the Sith.
Lords of the Sith. Wasn't
yeah, it was like right after. Oh, it was. So it counts. I'll count it.
It was actually closer to Rebels. I remember now.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
I guess we can go with maybe you can cheat on it and go with the Dark Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith comic series,
the whole series.
Yeah,
if I could do that, I would do that. But if I can't and it has to be a novel, probably the Revenge of the Sith novel adaptation, because you always talk like really highly of it and I've never read it. So right. I would go with that.
Go ahead, Sam.
Is Lords of the Sith canon?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay. I never connected that it was.
It's absolutely canon.
And it's amazing.
And Sam, that's the first Star Wars novel you ever read, isn't it?
Yes.
And you loved it, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. That's probably why I was so excited about the new
Star Wars. Where did you finish, for all of our listeners, where did you finish Dark Lord of the Sith?
Lords, I don't even remember.
Oh, Lords of the Sith, that's what it is. We were sitting on the hard concrete at Celebration Orlando, waiting for the Last Jedi panel.
That's right. I need to reread that book, but I have no idea where it is.
Yeah. I would, without a doubt, this was never a question in my mind. When I read this from Jeff, I knew immediately when it came to prequel novel, and really from any era, my favorite Star Wars novel of all time is Revenge of the Sith. I think it's the best Star Wars writing I've ever seen. Matthew Stover did a phenomenal job. I literally cried when Obi-Wan is saying, you know, the you are my brother. The way that they set that up in the opening scenes, just the very opening chapters of that, when they're like setting up the Battle of Coruscant as Anakin and Obi-Wan are flying in, Stover is writing about their relationship as they're coming in and who they are, and it sets up the whole book. They are like as close as brothers can be in this book, and the friendship is there, and you just know that they love each other. And so when you get to the end and he's like, you were my brother, you were the chosen one, I mean, I'm like I'm not kidding. I'm tearing up thinking about it right now, talking about this at this point. When I watched, so I read the book. I've talked about this before. I read the book like Tuesday, Wednesday, and then I went to the premiere on Thursday night because they used to come out earlier, which I, that just blows my mind that they used to do that with Star Wars. But anyway, when you get to the scene where Anakin is bidding Obi-Wan goodbye to go for Obi-Wan to go to Utapau to go after right. General Grievous. You remember this, the sequence?
Yes.
And they're having that like back and forth. And he says, may the force be with you and that stuff. I cried in the theater during that because I knew what that meant. That was the last time that they actually were there as like friends. And it was intense.
Oh, I never connected that.
Yeah. It's like, that's like the most of all of the may the force be with you moments in all of this, of the movies. That's the one that I think of the most, is because of that relationship. So yeah, that's absolutely okay.
I cried at The Help and you cried at Star Wars.
Yeah.
I think I figured out what book I'm going to pick up and read, at Celebration.
There you go. All
give
right.
Me something to do in life.
I'll figure mine out.
All right. So now we're at the sequel trilogy and the stories. And this is actually kind of cool because we've got four choices here. So we, can do this. So you've got in the, I'll start. We've got, Last Jedi. We got Force Awakens, Last Jedi, Rogue One, and Solo. Okay. This one's hard for me. Okay. Cause I love all four of these movies. And I especially love the fact that you can watch, Rogue One and Solo and it doesn't tie into the rest of the story. And I mean, it does, but it's not like pivotal to the sagas. So you can just pop those in and they're just great movies. But I really struggled between. You guys tell me which two I'm struggling between right now.
Last Jedi,
Last
and, Solo.
Jedi and Solo.
Absolutely.
And those are the ones I'm struggling with too.
I would I'm probably going to go with Solo because he's my dude and because that's just such a fun movie to watch. The Last Jedi, if you're stranded on a desert planet with a space slug coming at you, it's not exactly the most uplifting of all the movies.
Yeah, nor is Rogue One either.
Right. So, all right. I'm going to go with you, Samuel Hutt.
I'm going to go with Solo just because I've also heard you say that the Last Jedi book adaptation is really good. So that way I can get Solo and the Last Jedi.
Oh, nice. We're just going to go there. Your novel is the Last Jedi.
I'm gaming the system here.
You are gaming the system here. What about you, BB Nate? Your movie.
Solo,
which is really interesting that we love The Last Jedi.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we saw it, like we said, 10 times in the theater. I mean, it was,
wasn't it like 20 when we went to the, no, it was 10. No,
it was 10.
It was 20.
It was 9 times when we went to Ryan Johnson's deal.
And then it was the 10th for me, but I don't know why I'd seen it more than
you were, and, Tristan went and saw it.
Oh, anyway. That's right.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm going to take Solo, for mine just because I think it's a lot of fun. So. All right, so let's go book. Let's go musical score. Musical score. Which one are you going to take? Last Jedi, Rogue One, Solo, or Force Awakens? Even Nate.
Solo, as we've all... Like, every time we were going to the movie theater, the three of us to go watch a movie, we would always put on the Solo soundtrack. And I would always just, like, get chills down my spine of how much, like, such... It's such a good soundtrack, and so I want John Powell.
And John Williams wrote the Han Solo's theme, and then John Powell wrote the rest of the soundtrack.
Yeah, I want him to do the rest of the soundtrack after John Williams retires.
Yeah, he was.
He did such a great job.
Yeah, that's awesome. What about you, Sam?
Probably The Force Awakens.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Rey's theme and Kylo and some of that there. Han Solo and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, not Han didn't have a theme in there, but, I'm going to go Solo. There's two moments that every time the soundtrack comes up when I'm playing music, that like I absolutely fall in love with. Oh, well, there's three. Okay. So there's any time that the Enfys Nest stuff starts playing, that choir. Mm. Da, 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 da. You know that what I'm talking about? You guys know what I'm talking about?
Okay. Actually, there's, no, I don't. Can you? Can
no,
you
I'm not going to do it again? Anymore. So yeah, I love that one. I love the soundtrack version, which is different than the movie version of Chicken in the Pot.
Mm-hmm. It is great.
Chicken in the Pot, Sam's looking at us like we're crazy. That's actually the name of the song when you get into Dryden Voss's club or whatever.
Oh, and on his barge,
and those two people are singing. Yeah. And you know, in the movie, it's like a high, really deep bass. Yeah. Sound, and then when you but the soundtrack, it's high.
It's like you've got the main singer, and then the little it looks like Krang from
Teenage Mutant Ninja. When I listen, when I'm listening to the soundtrack and that song comes on, I'm like, I like start grooving, man. I love that song. But then nothing gives me greater chills in all the Star Wars universe as that moment that it's iconic on the Solo soundtrack when Han and Chewie first see the Falcon and it starts playing, the Star Wars theme in a little bit different way with a big orchestral thing, but like as a ballad almost. It was awesome. It's just like every time I hear it, it's like sends chills up my spine. I can't wait for that. So, what did you get yours? Did you answer yours? You said Force Awakens. Yeah. That's right. Okay. Then let's go novels now. All right. Samuel, you already picked yours. You're the Last Jedi.
Last Jedi.
All right. BB Nate.
I'm going to go all out and I'm going to say Solo.
Dude. Really?
It was a great novel. You read the novel? It was so much better.
Oh, yeah. You read it from the library.
It was so much, like, the movie, amazing, but the novel was so much better.
Really?
Like, it was such a good novel. They did such a great job on it.
I'm really surprised to hear you say that. That's pretty amazing. It was great. Okay.
What about you?
I've struggled with this one a lot. I'm struggling between The Last Jedi, which was an amazing novel, and actually Bloodlines, which I know is happening a little bit before the trilogy, but it's so the sequel trilogy, but it's so critical to the things that happen in the
That's Force an Awakens intense
and
book.
The Last Jedi, and it's a great. I mean, from my opinion, Claudia Gray wrote the greatest Star Wars novel outside of Revenge of the Sith. Lost Stars is great. I love that. That's more original trilogy era.
Oh, okay.
It goes from all the way from Death Star 1 to the Battle of Jakku. So anyway, which actually that would be a good choice for the original trilogy era. That's a phenomenal series or novel. I'm going to go with Bloodlines for mine. So cool. All right. Now he adds a Han dice trick at the end of this. And so let's finish up with this. It says the Han dice trick here is that you have to totally eliminate one film from forever from the sequels and standalone era. So if you could knock out one movie from the sequel standalone era, as if it never happened, it never took place, which movie would you pick, BB Nate?
It'd be The Last Jedi, because it's...
Oh, stop it!
I'm just joking.
Not funny.
Every word in that sentence was wrong.
I've been thinking about this one, and I've made my choice. It was Rogue One. I thought it out of all of those movies, I thought it was my least favorite out of all of them. I mean, I'm not saying that I didn't love the movie. It's like the
least. Getting a 99 on a test instead of a 100, right? Yes. I mean, it's like, it's still amazing, but it's just not a 100.
Yeah, so.
That's cool. What about you, Sam?
Oh, yeah. I mean, without a doubt, Rogue One.
Why?
I mean, it's rehashed.
You love Rogue One,
though. I do, but compared to Solo, Force Awakens, Last Jedi, I would easily knock out Rogue One. And it's kind of rehashed in episode 4, so.
Yeah, that's the thing that makes Rogue One the one for me as well, is because you can tell the story of Star Wars without Rogue One, and it's not nearly as fun as Solo. You know what I'm saying? So I can't knock Solo out. That's the one I want to take with me. So I'm going to knock Rogue One out. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes. Okay.
And then the last one. But wait, he says, we're not done yet. You can also pack along for the trip one season of an animated series, Clone Wars, Rebels, or Resistance.
Oh, it's only one season. I thought it was one series. One
season. Name your series in your season. BB Nate, you go first.
Okay, well, the thing is if you have to be evacuated right now, let's say right now as we're talking, I would do the first season of Resistance because I would get to see the whole season.
No, you're taking one with you.
I know.
You're taking this with you.
I know.
You take the whole season because you could take it with you early?
And I could
see it early. That's a Han dice roll for us. Nice. Very good, Sam. What about you, Sam? Or BB Nate.
Season 1 of The Mandalorian.
No, okay.
It's an animated series.
Animated series. Clone Wars, Rebels, or Resistance. He's already stolen that. It's not funny anymore. So go. You have to pick one season from one of those series. Come on.
What season has all the Maul stuff in Rebels?
Has all the what?
The Maul stuff.
That's season 3.
There's 2 and 3.
The last couple episodes of season 2 and then season 3.
So season 3. Season 3 would be it. If you wanted to do heavily packed action with a ton of Maul stuff, I would do season 3 or 4 of Clone Wars.
I'm going to go Geez, season two has those last two episodes with Vader. I'm going to do three. Season three of Rebels.
Mm-hmm. Season three of Rebels. Yeah. That's a good choice. That was one that I was going to go, I was potentially going to go with because I love that season. It's got my favorite episode of Rebels in it, and it's my favorite animated series. But I'm getting stranded on a deserted planet, and I feel like I have a responsibility to pass on the lore of the Force. And so I'm going to take season three of the Clone Wars.
I don't even remember the seasons.
So we can include the Mortis arc. I think the Mortis arc is going to become more and more and more critical to the future of Star Wars going forward. And I just feel like it's like one of those very special seasons. So season three, and I love Rebels better than Clone Wars, but I'm picking that season. So cool.
Yeah. When I read this, I thought it said pick one series and that made it difficult because I was deciding between Rebels and how it's like, you know, our favorite animated series, but it's a deserted island. So I was going to probably go with Clone Wars because it has what, seven seasons,
six seasons right
now. Well, I should have said season seven of Clone Wars.
Yeah, there you go. But you didn't. So I guess you lose.
Anything else?
Well, Rian Johnson really loved Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Well, of course, because he's so freaking cool.
So freaking cool.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, that's like, we were just talking, that's like the ultimate Stan and BB Nate moment is Rian Johnson, who let him name Turbis the Porg and is like, he like thinks is amazing, saying how much he loves Into the Spider-Verse. So
yeah.
And which is also one thing that
Nate. And funny thing is Lord and Miller are going to direct Solo, and they didn't, but they directed this. So.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. Everything revolves around Star Wars. Okay.
Yeah, Battlefront 2 gets Count Dooku.
Mm. Yeah, I heard that's going to be pretty amazing. Yeah,
I don't know. He hasn't been released yet,
though. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I want them to have, like, a Darth Sidious. Like, I know they have Palpatine, but I want a Darth Sidious where one of his moves is where he can spin.
I think he has that.
With a lightsaber, because he can spin and then go forwards, but he only has Force Lightning.
It's original trilogy.
Okay.
Anyway.
Cool. And then Kieran Gillen is leaving Marvel Star Wars. So he's been writing, I think, since issue 39. He's been writing the Star Wars main series for a long time now. And he's getting ready to hand that series over to someone else, which happens in comic books a lot where they do that. But he's basically done writing that arc that he's writing and then getting ready to hand it over. So that's cool. All right. So the next is the podcast poll of the week for this current week. We're going to let you in on the fun, man. Twitter doesn't give us as many options as we discussed. So, it's really a simple poll. If you could only take one piece of Star Wars media with you to a deserted planet, what would you choose? A film, a book, a soundtrack, or something else? So, check us out on Twitter. Make sure you vote in that poll. Sorry about hitting that mic there, guys. Vote in the poll and comment on that and share it so other people can be a part of it. Please, guys, and kind of in closing, again, thank you guys for listening to this podcast. We do this because, we love Star Wars and we would be talking about it even if these mics weren't on because that's all we talk about. But, we love the fact that you guys listen to it. So thank you so much. Please help other people find this podcast. Share it. Tell your friends that are Star Wars fans. Go to TeePublic and order Star Wars Tatooine Sons Porg merchandise and all this other stuff. And you can check us out on Spreadbox as well, which is actually a sponsor of this show. So thank you guys for doing that. We've got lots of good content on there. Please, guys, I'm asking a personal favor from you. If you haven't yet subscribed to our YouTube channel, will you please just head on over there real quick and hit that subscribe button and get updates when we put out these videos every single week. The more subscribers we get, it helps us get the word out to more people. And we think that these videos are good right now. They're not great. And we know that, but they're going to be great as we keep going, just like we're trying to do with our podcast over the last year, make it better and better. We're still figuring out the YouTube thing, but we're going to get that done. So take some time to do that. Of course, if you're listening to us on this podcast on iTunes, please head on over and give us a rating and review on that. Follow us on Twitter at Tatooine Sons, Instagram at Tatooine Sons. Just search Tatooine Sons on Facebook to find our Facebook page. YouTube's real easy on where you can find Tatooine Sons there. And Patreon. We love you guys. Thank you so much for supporting us on Patreon, especially our top level supporter, JG Carse. We can't wait to go to dinner on Thursday night at Cyrus Celebration. That's on the list and we're excited about that. Thank you guys for your generous support. All of you guys that support us on Patreon, thank you so much. I think that's pretty much it. Is there anything else you guys want to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you, always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.